So the character of the meeting tonight is a gospel meeting. And, you know, the gospel means good news. So tonight we have a good news to share. And I would like to turn to the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 1. It's interesting that in the Epistle to the Romans, we hear about the gospel of God. The good news from God. You know, chapter 1 to chapter 3, it will describe to us our condition as sinners. But just before our condition is brought up, we hear about the gospel of God. Good news. Good news. So I will read verse 1. Till verse 3. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. As I said before, what is presented to us here is a good news coming from God. And you know, if we were to just to read these three chapters, we would find that we would read about the power of God, the righteousness of God, the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the goodness of God that leads to repentance, about the truth of God, and the glory of God. All this we find in these three chapters. So now we're dealing with God speaking to us, revealing himself to us according to our conditions. You know, we are sinners by nature, but we are also sinners by practice. This is what we have in common, every one of us here. We're all sinners. You know, if we were to describe a sinner, let's say we would take this room and we would say, okay, now we're going to an apartment with this room, we're going to rent it. Let's say $1,000 a month. So Mr. Smith is coming. And he says, I want to rent that place. So he comes in. And he says, well, you know, I don't like the color. I'm going to paint the walls here. He says, I'm going to change the carpet. I want to make it home. Well, the man signed a contract that he would pay $1,000 every month. So, Mr. Smith lives here. He pays the first month, the second month, the third month. Comes to the fourth month, he says, hey, after all, I'm home here. It's my carpet. I painted the walls. I'm home here. It's my place. Why should I pay a rent? This is the story of the human race. You know, sin, well, we look at the word sin. The middle letter of the word sin is I. The middle letter of pride is I also. So, you know, because of our pride, our independence toward God, we are sinners. We want to do things our own way, knowing God's way. But you know, God, knowing our condition, has a good news to present to us tonight. And this good news has to do concerning His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we don't need to go too much in detail about the fact that we are sinners. We just have to look at the history of man. And for those of you guys who are young ladies also, who are studying history, you know very well that the human race is in bad shape. War after war. You just have to open the newspaper and to know that, you know, we're in bad shape. But God has a good news, and that good news is concerning His well-beloved Son. And it says here, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah from the Old Testament. You know, I think it's very important for us to realize that our faith is based on prophecy that has been fulfilled. You know, the Bible is not a book like other books. It's the Word of God. You know, I met a lady the other day as we were sharing the gospel with my brother here in Montreal at the subway station. And the lady came and she said, well, I had a big sign here, like a sandwich board with the verse, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And she looked at it and she said, well, that's your opinion. But she says, you know, I was brought up a Muslim. And I look into Christianity, and after all, I'm only a human now. I'm just a human. I'm not a religious person. I want to live my life my own way. So I looked at her, and I said, well, you know, that's the way people live their lives, yes. But I said, you said that you studied Christianity. Can you talk to me about it a bit? Well, when she was in university, she looked at different books and she came to the conclusion that religion is not for her. But I said, what about the Lord Jesus and the fulfilled prophecy about him? So I talked to her about it. And she was not too much impressed about it. She did not really want to hear about it. But you know, it's a powerful element to our faith. Because here Paul starts to say, you know, that Lord Jesus, it was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. But you know, he had been promised before by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You know, I'd like us to look at some of the scriptures from the Old Testament that would point to us to the Messiah. You know, I was thinking about 1 Samuel chapter 7. In verse 12. 2 Samuel chapter 7. The Lord is speaking to David. And this is a very important promise from the Old Testament. So we're going to start reading from verse 12. And when thy days will be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels. And I will establish his kingdom, and shall build an house for my name. And I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That will be for the descendant of David. You know, it's interesting that this promise is so important because it has been fulfilled to the letter. You know, if we were to turn to Matthew chapter 1, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, we will see the fulfillment of that prophecy. You know, book of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. The son of Abraham. And then it continues on. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus is considered to be the son of David. And you know, when we look at Abraham, it speaks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In chapter 12 of Genesis, written long, long time ago, God had promised that all the families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham, through his seeds. In chapter 26, it is said to Isaac that through the family, his family, that all the family would be blessed on the earth. And then to Jacob in chapter 28. And then we come to chapter 49. And it is said that the scepter would not leave the house of Judah. And you look at all these things. Whoa. And you see all these names in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus. You know, that's a powerful element to see that all these prophecies were fulfilled concerning the Lord Jesus. But you know, there's more. If we were to read in Matthew chapter 1, starting to verse 18, concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded and to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You know, interesting, Isaiah prophesied that a virgin would be with child about 750 years before the coming of Christ. Another prophecy fulfilled. You know, I'm sure that you young men and young ladies, you must be cool, or maybe with some of your friends there, as to giving a reason for the hope that is in you. We live in a world where what people listen on the internet and what they see on television is very much against Christianity. But you know, many of you are coming from a Christian home. You have heard about the Bible since you were very little, very little. But how it is important for you to buy the truth, to take it for yourself, to verify these prophecies, and to say, hey, this is true. This is the Word of God. This is not imagination. This is not a theory. This is the truth. You know, we've looked at a few of those, but there is, if we were to continue in chapter 2, we would, if we take the whole Gospel of Matthew, there is an expression that comes often, and we find it in chapter 1 and verse 22, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet. This comes so often in the Gospel of Matthew to give proofs that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You know, we need to have evidence, and we can have it from the Word of God. We don't need to turn to men of science. We can turn to the Word of God. Well, science can just explain what God has done through science. But this book is so wonderful. There's no book like this one. The Word of God. It has been tried. Let's look in chapter 2 for... we'll just read verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his stars in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written by the prophet, O thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You know, it's interesting that prophecy was written about 800 years before before Christ. The town where the Messiah would be born. You know, it's wonderful. And you know, we could turn to Psalm 22, and there we see that, you know, it has been said there, it's written that they have pierced my hands and my feet. Written about 1,000 years before. If we were to turn to Isaiah chapter 53 again, we would find so many prophecy fulfilled about the Lord Jesus. Written again about, you know, 700 years before Christ. So these are powerful elements for our faith. So Paul says here in Romans chapter 1 that these things were prophesied before. They were promised and fulfilled in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting about what we read about the Magi. You know, these were people coming from a long distance. And they were led somehow to Jerusalem. And it is said that Jerusalem was all trouble when they heard about the birth of the King of the Jews. They were not prepared. But not only that. The scribes, the learned man, they could point in the scripture and say, hey, it's written there. It's in Bethlehem that the Messiah will be born. The King of the Jews will be born. They knew it. But they did not go to worship him. They didn't have the heart to go. They had the knowledge. Oh, my friend, maybe you have the knowledge of the things of God, but it didn't go into your heart. Maybe you heard about Jesus Christ going to the cross of Calvary. And as we shared this afternoon, that the Lord Jesus Christ died, you know, on the cross in order to bring forgiveness. But did you take it for yourself? You know, at the age of 17 years old, I started to read the New Testament. And I was very much impressed by a verse. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I was very much impressed about that. I said, oh my, nobody, if it is true, I mean, I must pay attention to it. But I needed to come to the point in my life where the Lord worked in my heart and convinced me of sin, that I needed a Savior. I came to Him at the foot of the cross and experienced salvation with Him. Oh, my friend, tonight it's a gospel meeting. And the goal of the gospel meeting is to bring you to Christ. Not to bring you to a church. Not to bring you to good habits. But to bring you to Christ. That's what we need. That's what we need tonight. To have a relationship with Him. And the only way, as we have sung tonight, is to look to Him. To look at the crucified one in order to receive life. Forgiveness. You know, we talked a little earlier about the fact that we are sinners. And the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ is offered to us. That good news tells us that, you know, we cannot save ourselves. You know, there is a verse in Romans chapter 3 that says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, sometimes we are at the station and we share the gospel with people there. And I would ask a question to some people there. I would offer a tract sometime. And the people would say, oh, I don't need it. I'm already a Christian. Oh, that's interesting. I'm glad to hear that. I said, may I ask you a question? He said, of course. I said, listen, I hope you live like my father to 99 years old. But it could be that a car may come on the sidewalk here and hit us and maybe we might die today. Would you be ready? Oh, a person said to me, well, listen, I live a good life. You know, if I was to die today, I think today I would be okay. Oh, interesting. So I said, so it depends on the way that you live your life. Said, yes, yeah, I'm in good term with God. God will take me. I said, okay. Oof, I said, do you know about the blood of the Lord Jesus? Well, the person said, well, not too much. Well, it was a good occasion to share the gospel with the person and say, hey, it's not by your good works. It's not by having a good day that God will accept you. Because God cannot accept sin in His presence. God is holy. What you need is to be washed from your sin. And the only way is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross of God. There is no other way. You know, we read in the epistle to the Roman about to be justified by His blood. To be justified by grace and to be justified by grace. There is no other way. A gospel without blood is not a gospel. I believe it was read today in the afternoon. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse us from all sin. That's the only way. The only way. You can be washed from your sins. You know, it's interesting that in the gospel, sometimes I like to call the epistle to the Roman, the gospel to the Roman. Because this is what Paul is doing. You know, in the Old Testament, the gospel was salvation was promised. In the gospels, the four gospels, the salvation is being manifested to the world. In the book of Acts, the gospel is proclaimed. The salvation is proclaimed. In the epistle, the salvation is explained. And in Revelation, the salvation is glorified. We see the reign of Christ. The fulfillment of it. Tonight, we are trying to explain the salvation. I'm trying to let you know that you're a sinner. That you need a Savior. You cannot save yourself. And you know, in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul will speak to a group of people who would be considered maybe barbarians. People who, they don't have morality, they don't have the law of God, but they have the creation. They have the creation. You know, God has two books, the creation and also the Bible. So they are people who have never heard about the Bible, but they have the testimony that, you know, the creation speaks of a creator. The heavens declare the glory of God. You know, I come from a city. So when I look at the sky at night, I don't see too many stars. But when you're in a place like here, you know, it's so beautiful. It must be beautiful to see all the stars, and it is such a spectacle. I remember one time I was in Benin, West Africa, and I remember one night I was like in a town where there was no electricity, and I remember looking at the skies, and I was so impressed. I had never seen something like that, and it just produced some praise in my heart to God, to the beauty of His creation. But you know, in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he's speaking about a group of people here who have the testimony of nature. And what they do, they look at all these things and they don't give thanks to God. They don't recognize God as who He is. And it is said that they become vain in their thoughts. You know, sometime I remember a little while before the pandemic, used to go to a therapy house to share the gospel. And the guys there would be there listening for maybe 45 minutes. And it was like in a cafeteria of that center there. There was a nice toaster there. A beautiful toaster. All chrome. Oh my. Beautiful. So I said to the guy, hey, look at the nice toaster, guys. I said, you know, I could even comb myself in it. It's so shiny. But you know, if that toaster is not plugged into the wall, it doesn't achieve its purpose. You know, we have been created for the glory of God. And if we are not connected to God, our life is vain. It is appointed, you know, for man to die once. And then there will be a judgment one day. Every one of us will have to appear before God one day. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ will be there as a judge. Will you meet him as your Savior or as your judge? So these people, they have the testimony of creation, and what they do is they reject it. They want to do life their own way. And you know, when you leave the worship of God, what will happen is you're going to worship something else. You know, idols, you heard about idols. I've seen in Africa people having a little piece of wood carved. They would put it like at the base of a tree, and then they would bring food to it at night. And then they would say, oh, tomorrow morning, I come, the plate is empty. So, the idol was pleased with me. You say, oh my, this is, you know, it's a rat that came at night and ate it, eh? Of course, we know that. But these people, they believe that. You know, they trust in that. But you know, when I was a boy, I used to have idols. And they were hockey players. Oh my, I like these guys so much. They played so well. I was so much into hockey. You say, idols are not only in Africa. And you know, they are popular singers too also that are idols for the heart of so many young people. And even the Apostle John would say, young children, you know, be careful of idols. We need to be careful with that. But you know, this is the human heart. This is our heart. If we are not connected to God, we're going to try to fill that void in one way or the other. And being disconnected from God, my, come to a point where people don't even know if they are a boy or a girl. I know my two sisters are teachers, and at some point I was with them and at a family gathering, and then I said, you know, it's terrible today that in daycare, they put in question if a boy is a boy, a girl is a girl. Or they try to be politically correct, you know. They didn't say a word. So people today, you don't want to displease the crowd. But you know, it's interesting. When people ask me, so what do you think about the LGBT situation? I like to refer to a verse, I think, in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus said, in the beginning, God created them male and female. I said, you know, I prefer to let the Lord Jesus answer to this question. He's the creator. He knows. He knows about us. So this is what happened when people are rejecting God. Don't give thanks to him. They became vain in their thoughts. Not only that, they just don't have the good value of morality. You know, I just want to go to chapter 2 of Romans. We have those who judge others. Those who have a morality. Those who are like philosophic people, maybe like the Greek. And these people, they would judge others. They would say, oh, this is bad. But you know, interesting that Paul says to these people, you know, do you know one day God is going to judge a secret of your hearts? Oh, it's one thing to judge people for what they do wrong. But what you don't say is what you do in secret that God sees. Do you have secrets in your life? Are there things that you know that are very bad in your life and that maybe you're hiding from others? God can see in the secrets of your heart. I had many of these things in my life, but when I came to Christ, the Lord washed all these things. If a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Things are passed away. All things are passed away. You know, I just want to go to chapter 3 for a few minutes here. Chapter 3, we speak about the Jews, the people who have the law. And you know, it's a good thing to have the book of the law. The law would give us, you know, a way to live. You know, the law says, do these things and you will have life. We can't accomplish the law. Why? Because we are sinners. We have a will that wants to go against it. You know, somebody said that the law is like a broom in a dusty room. What it does, you just lift the dust. Grace is like a mop. It will absorb. So Paul says, you know, by the works of the law, no one will be justified. It's not by something you can do to be safe. It's something that you believe in the sacrifice of Christ. You know, it's interesting that somebody has counted about 10,000 religions in the world. 10,000. For those who have been to India, understand, I think Bill could tell us, in some temples you can buy an idol for $2, for $10, $20, $100. You know, religion is the effort of man to try to reach to God. When Christianity is God coming to us in the person of Christ, totally different. Totally different. There was a verse that I was thinking this afternoon when we were reading in the first epistle of John. It's in verse 21 of chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God without law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And I think I should read verse 25. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sin that are passed through the forbearance of God. You know, it's interesting that in verse 22 it says, unto all and upon all that believe. It's unto all. It's available for everybody. But it's only effective upon all them that believe. So that's why you need to buy the truth, to take it for yourself. You know, we have considered tonight that we are all sinners. Whether you never heard the gospel, you are responsible because the testimony of the creation. It could be that you have some moral principle, you don't know about the Bible too much. Still, you're responsible because God knows about the secrets of your heart. You may judge others, but God knows where you are. And you know, for those who would be Jews, they would be more responsible because they had received more light. And the conclusion is that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is that there is a possibility to be justified freely by His grace, because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. You know, another prophecy was fulfilled also about the garments of the Lord Jesus that were taken away from Him. I believe it's in Psalm 22. This was fulfilled in John chapter 19. You know, the Lord Jesus, they took His garments. Do you remember when the prodigal son came back home? it was clothed with the best robe. So the Lord Jesus was, you know, they stripped him from his garments. I would like to suggest, in order for you to be covered with the righteousness of God, the best robe, God has nothing less but the best for you guys. You know, I experienced these things about 48 years ago. And that was the best choice I made in my life. You know, life is made of little choice. Big choice. But that choice is the most important in your life. Because then you can build on the Lord Jesus Christ. The toaster will be plugged into the wall. Can have good toast. Can enjoy all the good things. You know, living this life, waiting for the Lord Jesus to be so beautiful. So these were a few thoughts that I had on my heart to share in connection with some prophecy being fulfilled. And I would like to challenge all those who are facing opposition from the world there to be grounded in the Scripture. You know, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, to be ready to answer to those who would ask reason of our faith. And the word that is used there is apologia, is to give an apology. You know, I heard some people who like to perform apology, and somebody would use reason in order to debate Christianity. Others would use science. You know, there are many articles. But I would suggest that to use a scripture. It is a sword of the Spirit. It stands on itself. And you know, the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will stand. Will never pass away. So build your faith in the word of God. And I would really encourage you to meditate the epistle to the Romans. It is so important concerning the real understanding of salvation. You know, the other day I was at the subway station there, and a young man came to me, and he said to me, he said, can I talk with you for a minute? Could you pray for me? I said, sure. He said, I have accepted Christ as a Savior some years ago, but I'm battling with immorality on the internet. I said, sure, we'll pray for you. His name is Benjamin. So I had a little talk with him, and then, you know, sometimes the guy, you know, they come from the subway and then they have to take a bus and they are a bit in a hurry. I wanted to speak more to him. Then anyway, so he left, and I said, oh my, I hope I can meet him again. And sure enough, last Sunday, Brother Jocelyn said, let's go to the subway again to share the gospel after bringing a bread. So we were there, and sure enough, you know, that young man appeared just before me. And I said to him, you know, I would like you to read Romans 6, 7, and 8 in order to experience deliverance from the power of sin. You know, we read that we can be delivered, you know, from the judgment of God because of our sin by the blood of Christ. But to be delivered from the power of sin is through the association or understanding of our association with the death of Christ. This is chapter 6 of Romans. And chapter 7 is the deliverance from the law. Obligation to the law. That we are dead to the law. But chapter 8, we can see the butterfly spreading his wing. So beautiful. This is our portion in Christ. And you know, if we are to share the gospel around us, we need to experience that freedom that Christ brings. Chapter 6, 7, and 8 is so important for us to understand the real deliverance and also the new life in Christ by the power of the Spirit of God, which we experiment so little. So may the Lord help us. So let us pray. Oh, our God and Father, we would like to thank you for the good news of the gospel. Oh, we just pray tonight. If there is a person here tonight who has not yet decided for Christ, oh, we pray, Father, that the arrow of conviction would pierce the heart and the conscience. Oh, Father, only you can do that by the power of your Spirit. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.